MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Tuesday, November 21, 2023, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber, supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore with today's headlines. Offshore wind project back before Salem Board. Lynn residents hear about South Harbor project.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, the biggest games in high school football are Thanksgiving and the Super Bowl. This year, the Prep plays Xaverian in both of those games coming up. Rick?
Going to be an interesting week and a half. Thanks, Bill. Sun, then clouds, low 40s, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 5:39 p.m. Many North Shore residents were greeted with frost on the windshield and on the pumpkin this morning. Forecasters are letting travelers know that rain will begin in our area overnight and continue into Wednesday. Overnight, areas well west of the North Shore may also experience some accumulating snow. Again, the North Shore is expecting rain only. Salem's offshore wind terminal is going back before the Conservation Commission. Dustin Luca writes in today's Salem News that the project is one of five items on the next agenda. The project was initially denied back at a meeting held on September 19. Swampscott firefighters and police responded to a pickup truck that rolled over on Danvers Road yesterday afternoon. The Daily Item reports that a white Toyota Tacoma drove off the road and flipped. The driver was sent to the hospital with minor injuries. Cause of that accident is under investigation. The City of Lynn is proposing a $450 million, 850-unit mixed-use development in the South Harbor area. The public recently got a chance to see and hear about some of the proposals being put forward at a meeting at the Lynn YMCA. Lauren Drago, the associate city planner for Lynn, told the audience that input from residents in Ward 6 helped shape some adjustments in the proposal.
For the existing neighbors that live in the neighborhood, they talked a lot about wanting improved sidewalks, improved intersections, improved streetscape, a better experience for the folks that have lived there, made their homes there. They keep immaculate gardens. They really love their community. We could be doing more to provide a higher quality of life for people that already live in this area. In addition, we want to talk about a sensible mix of uses. We'll talk about this a little bit more later, but there's examples right now where you might have someone who's selling natural gas next to a residential home. We don't love that. So we're talking about bringing more businesses, bringing maybe even more industrial into the city, but we need to be mindful to make sure that all of these different uses can get along nicely.
Survey results also brought forward concerns by residents seeking better and higher quality access to the waterfront.
We also heard about vacant or underutilized properties and really wanting to see those change into something more beneficial to the community. I also heard from predominantly young families that they'd really like more to do in the waterfront. They loved that we had the film screenings on the waterfront over the summer. They wanted to see more activities that they could go to, reasons to kind of get out of the house and out and about. And then environmental improvements as well. This can touch on a couple of different things, but we hear time and time again how important it is to Lynn that we clean up our beaches, that we deal with these sewer issues, and that came through loud and clear with our feedback here. To be clear, it's a little bit outside of our study area, but I hear the message loud and clear. It's a big part to making sure that our waterfront is accessible and healthy for everybody.
That's Lauren Drago from the Lynn Planning Department. Those attending the recent annual meeting for Gloucester's Sawyer Free Library received an update on the renovation and expansion project. Ethan Foreman writes in today's Gloucester Times that the $29 million project is scheduled to be completed in June 2025. The groundbreaking for the project was earlier this fall, and the project is currently in the demolition phase. Fundraising continues while the construction is underway. And a new and improved fitness trail is now open at Endicott Park in Danvers. Caroline Enos writes in today's Salem News that the 1.8-mile route features 13 stations that focus on different exercises, such as cardio or endurance, and runs along the park's main walkways. Sports next with Bill Newell.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber.
MSO News Sports. News updates throughout the day. Great local sports coverage. Giving voice to North Shore newsmakers.
This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics lost to the Hornets in Charlotte last night, 121-118 in overtime. The Celts blew a late lead to let the game go into OT. The Bruins also lost in overtime last night, 5-4 to the Lightning in Tampa. The Patriots return from their bye week to play the Giants Sunday at 1 in the Meadowlands. And this week, we're featuring North Shore football coaches here on the website with their previews of the Thanksgiving games coming up on Thursday. St. John's Prep will be playing Xaverian on Thanksgiving morning and also playing them next week in the MIAA Division I Super Bowl. For Prep coach Brian St. Pierre, the pedal will be to the metal on Thanksgiving.
It's the next game on our schedule, and you only get so many games to play in football. You know, other sports play 20-plus games. Football, we're going to fortunately max out and get to play 13 of them, which is a lot in high school, but it's still, compared to other sports, not as many. So we're going to play. A lot of respect for them. Really good program. Certainly a rival of ours. Thanksgiving's always special, so I think our kids understand that. We've been in the situation, obviously, where we've been in the Super Bowl and they're out of it, and we still play our guys. This is different. You know, we're both in the Super Bowl playing each other. So I think that definitely adds to the intrigue of the game, I think, and questions being asked of how you approach it. And I'll be honest, I don't know how to approach it any other way than you prepare to win and prepare your team to go out there and play the best they can, and then we move on to the next.
St. Pierre adds that they are not saving anything for the Super Bowl. They want to win on Thanksgiving Day.
Do so. Now we got to go do it, but we'll just take it one practice at a time. That's how we're built. That's how we've always done it, and try to put our best foot forward on Thursday morning, which is always a special deal around here. Massachusetts Thanksgiving football against a rival, I mean, that's usually one of the great memories you have as a high school football player. So we don't take that for granted, and we're looking forward to it.
Prep football coach Brian St. Pierre. And a reminder, the North Shore and Merrimack Valley Sports Desk shows will be posting tomorrow morning right here this week with Dom DeCastro. That's sports, along with Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. This is North Shore Today, the area's only news and sports podcast.
We are MSONewsSports.com, the North Shore's news and sports website, featuring North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7, the North Shore and Merrimack Valley Sports Desk shows, hosting on Thursdays, North Shore Today, the area's multimedia, community-based daily magazine. Our connections feature interview segments. Spread the word about MSONewsSports.com as we support North Shore communities with our exclusive content, powered by Moynihan Lumber, Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we continue now with our Thanksgiving Day football previews. We're talking now with Peabody High School football coach Mark Betancourt. And coach, welcome back to MSO. Congratulations on a fabulous season. I know that the playoffs didn't end the way you wanted them to, but you guys, as I remember, played with sort your team did a little chip on their shoulders from day one, because some of the media were not respecting you guys or expecting you to do so well, and you pretty much nailed it all season long.
Well, the goal is to get better every year, and you know, sometimes when the bar gets raised that high, people look at it like, oh, they can't get there again. And like I said all year, I think that really got under the skin of some of our returning players, and they went out and worked real, real hard. And you know, we improved on what we did. You know, 2 years ago, we went 7-4, but we did not make the state tournament. Last year, we made the state tournament, got a home game, but didn't win it. You know, this year, we made the state tournament, got a home game, won it, and made it to the second round. You know, it would have been nice to win that second round game, but I think we played well, played a real good Barnstable team, and leaves room for improvement for next year's team. So now the bar is set even higher.
That's pretty amazing, Mark, because Division II, it's kind of ridiculous the way it's set up. It's got to be the toughest division for high school teams, especially public schools.
I would see them in there and King Philip in there, and you see Marshfield beat CM, so that tells you how good they are. You know, for us to even come close to making the Final Four is a huge step for our program. You know, to move on from there, you know, as a public school, that's a tough task.
We had a lot of North Shore teams going into the semis or just before the semis, a lot of Northeast Conference and Cape Ann League. Salem, Danvers, you guys, I mean, Marblehead. What does that tell you about this, the status of the Northeastern Conference, Coach?
Well, first and foremost, I could not be happier for Matt Bouchard and those kids from Salem.
And Salem, yep.
Yeah, I couldn't. I'm a huge fan of Salem football. You know, like I said before, a huge fan of Gloucester and Winthrop and all the NEC teams. But to see Salem playing in the Super Bowl for the first time since 1999 is absolutely phenomenal for that group of boys and for that school and for our conference. I couldn't be prouder of them. So proud of the Danvers High, Coach Nolan, what he's done with those kids. You know, obviously, Coach Rudloff, you know, he does a great job with his group. And to have four teams go as deep as they do and still have one standing playing in a Super Bowl at Gillette, I think that just speaks volumes for the conference.
It's pretty cool. It really is. And then you got the prep in there, and you've got Amesbury in there, so these are all North Shore athletes, and I know the kids all know one another. But we're focusing on Peabody right now, Coach, and just in retrospect, maybe a reflection on the year, because you've been so proud of your kids, and you talk about improvement, and they've continued to do that, and they've done what you've asked them to do, but they've also learned, and they've helped one another out. So maybe a little bit of a quick reflection on the season and your team.
Well, I mean, this team always felt like they were playing in the shadows, and they wanted to shake that. And they came out like a house on fire. Never did I think we would have the 14-point differential looking at the schedule preseason. The fact that we did that all the way up to you know, the Salem game, I think just speaks volumes for the way that the kids played. You know, we played basically the same exact schedule, with a lot of missing pieces, with guys that filled in and did great jobs and carried that torch and actually raised the bar. They did actually better than the year before. So, I mean, looking at the whole season, I mean, just as a whole, it was fun to go to practice. It was fun to be there, and the kids made it that way with their attitudes, their intensity, their dedication to what we're trying to do. And this senior class, if you look at their overall record, it's got to be the best since probably the early 2000s in a career as far as the record goes. And this junior class of Jimmy Festa, Alex Jackson, you got a bunch of kids in this class that say, hey, we're going to bring it even further. We want to go out next year and continue on with what we've been doing. We're not going to lose any steam. And that, for me and my coaches, just motivates us even more.
Isn't that incredible, Mark, after all these seasons and after all the coaching you've been doing? That's pretty exciting, and that really says something at this point in your career and that of Peabody High School.
Well, I mean, and we've been waiting for it to happen. You know, we had those years where we were 6-5, 5-6, and we're losing close games and weren't getting breaks in certain situations. We were just waiting for that type of mentality to build and to take it to the next level. And this group of kids, these seniors, these juniors, they've really stepped up in their attitudes and their work ethic and their motivation to take the program to, you know, to where it used to be, where 8-2 was a bad year. and it's hard to do that. It really is, with all the private schools taking players away, and, you know, Essex Tech now in the picture taking away some of the players. It's difficult to do because you don't know what you're going to get in your freshman class year in and year out. We can't go out and recruit and find kids. We take who comes to Peabody High, and we've taken on the mentality, those are the kids we want. Those are the kids who want to be Tanners. Those are the guys we want to coach.
I want to talk about two games in particular, Mark, before we focus on Thanksgiving, and that is the Salem game followed by the Arlington playoff game. But that Salem game was one for the ages.
Well, the Salem game, I mean, that was just a matter of facing a team that had just incredible will. I mean, when we went up on them 20-0, it would have been real easy for them to fold. And instead, what did those guys do? They did something that's never been done to us in the last 2 years. They put up 26 points in one quarter, which has never been done to us in the last 2 years. And that's what made me even more proud that our defense was able to step up on that last play with all the money on the table. Both teams, all their chips were in the middle. That play determined the future of the two teams. And for our guys to be able to step up and make that play and win the game on the last play, stopping that two-point conversion, showed me maybe that the tides had turned a little bit.
Well,
maybe 4 years ago we lose that game.
It also says something because Salem's in the Super Bowl. So, that's quite a matchup, an incredible game. And then you went on with a big win over Arlington. I know it was disappointing against Barnstable, but your kids, they got to be in a good spot right now heading into Thanksgiving.
Well, they want to make sure we don't hiccup. And, you know, we practice the next 3 days to get ready to seal this season and get that 10-1 back-to-back season in the books and then start to build on 2024 and get ready for that next challenge without Alex Silva, without Eli Batista, without Donnie Kavanaugh, without Ramey Andino, to take that next jump with the losses that we had. The other day in practice, I separated our seniors from our returners, and I told our returners, guys, these guys are not coming back. You can't rely on these guys anymore. You've been able to hang on them and lean on them the last 2 years. They're not going to be there to lean on anymore. You are the ones everyone's going to lean on now. You better get yourselves ready for that challenge.
Are there some underclassmen you would like to mention, Coach?
I mean, there's huge, huge emphasis on guys like Jimmy Festa, Alex Jackson, Dylan Anise, the guys in that offensive and defensive line, Matt Mastrocola, Jaden Cotillo. As far as skill players go, Luke Maglione developing as a quarterback. Gabe Santos as a running back. Caillou Santos as a running back. Receivers like Dorlan Morrell, Jace Jean-Pierre, Tyler Rappold. Guys that kind of laid back a little bit. Some of them got some important roles this year, but not nearly as important as the roles they're going to have next year.
Fantastic.
Not just as players, but as leaders.
Mm-hmm. All right. What does Thanksgiving week mean for you, Coach, personally and as a coach?
Well, for me personally, I love the Peabody-Saugus matchup. I know Saugus hasn't been as competitive as they want to be the last few years, but we had our Lions Club dinner the other night where the seniors from Saugus and the coaches from Saugus meet with the players, the seniors from Peabody and my coaching staff down at Prince Pizza in Saugus for our annual little dinner and banquet that we have. It means so much to me personally. It's personally my favorite banquet of any sport that we go to. It's very unique in what it does. I know other teams do it, but for me, it's the romantic side of football. It's the part that you really get a feel for what this last game really is all about. It's 48 minutes for the rest of your life. This is the game you're going to remember when you're 70 years old, and it really sets that tone for us to play on Thanksgiving. The next 3 days of practice are going to fly by.
Oh, yeah.
Kids are amped up. They can't wait to play. The seniors are going to go out flying high. We're hoping the game goes the way we want the game to go to make sure that this group of seniors walks off that field for the last time as winners.
You are a family of athletes and a family of contributors to Peabody, to the community of Peabody. What is Thanksgiving Day like for the Betancourts after a game?
Well, we've been lucky enough to win the last few years so we can go home and enjoy Thanksgiving dinner. The worst Thanksgiving of my life was COVID year because we had no game to play.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had a regular, I guess what you'd call a traditional Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it. It's probably the first Thanksgiving in 40 years to not participate or watch some kind of a high school football game. So having it back the last couple of years has really, really brought back the meaning of it to me. When it was taken away from so many people during that COVID year. You know, after the game, I look forward to, the coaches get together. We return all the equipment that day, so mm-hmm. we put closure to it. We all go home and enjoy our Thanksgiving dinners. I go home. My family's waiting for me. And we sit down and enjoy a meal together as a family to kind of close the fall season of, for my girls,
yep.
volleyball, for my son and I, football, and Doug, football. And to kind of put closure to that and get ready for basketball season for the girls.
Forgive me for laughing, but I know exactly what you mean. When I couldn't broadcast a game on Thanksgiving, it's like I felt like a fish out of water. What am I doing here in this house in the morning? It was so weird. So I totally understand that, Coach. Oh, my goodness. All right, finally, Coach, I want to just commend you for your how much you've done, how much the Betancourts have done, and also congratulate you on daughter Abby's accomplishments, because they continue to just rise to new levels, and maybe telling me how proud you are of her, because she's the Moynihan Student Lumber Athlete of the Month, among other things.
Well, the Moynihan Lumber one's special because it does recognize her not just as an athlete, but as a student. And that's very important to me as a father and as a coach. That is not, it's the student part of the student athlete that's more important. And a lot of times that gets, you know, confusing. Her getting the MVP of the NEC for volleyball, another great accomplishment. But the Moynihan Lumber was really the one that I enjoyed, because it really does give a combination of the two. The fact that she was chosen for the All-State Division I volleyball team, I think that was amazing. She's only the second player. Carolyn Skarke was on that team in 2015, I believe. At that time, she was the only girl from Peabody to ever make that team. Now, Abby joins her as the two volleyball players from Peabody to ever achieve that. So for her, for Abby as an individual, to get Brown nailed down as a school she's going to next year, and to have the type of season she had in volleyball, just gets me excited for what's happening next. Yeah, we turn the page. We'll move on to basketball, and then, of course, after basketball comes, her sport, getting into that final softball season. So a lot of things to look forward to. I'm looking forward to my baseball season as much as I'm looking forward to her and my daughter Lizzie's softball season. So a lot of things to look forward to. Good chance to hopefully enjoy our Thanksgiving dinner with a win and roll right into that winter season.
Perfect. We'll be talking to you during baseball season. In the meantime, Coach, thank you so much for talking with us through this football season. Congratulations on a spectacular year, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, and thank you so much for you and all you guys do. Between you guys, the Salem News, the Lynn Item, we have the best coverage of high school athletics you can find, and all that is because of the job that you guys do. And for me and all the coaches in the NEC, thank you so much for what you guys do.
Appreciate it, Coach. All the guys you mentioned are friends, and we have a blast. Be well, Mark. Thank you so much.
Good luck to Salem.
Yeah, amen to that. Good luck. Thanks, Mark. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that's Mark Betancourt, Peabody High School football coach. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.